We're sorry. You must first dial a 1 or a 0 plus the area code when calling this number. Will you please hang up and try your call again?
And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Wednesday evening, joined tonight by Kyle.
I'm here.
And out in Skype land, we have...
No.
No? What happened?
We gave up on Skype.
We're not doing Skype anymore?
Yeah.
I heard Skype got canceled.
Well, it's been jettisoned from this program.
What did Skype say to get canceled? It must have upset somebody. Well, okay, so where are we? Signal land? Is that where we are now?
Yeah, okay. It's a land of signals.
All right, out in Signal Land, we have Rob T. Firefly.
Good evening from Signal Land.
I can't understand that dialect. He sounds completely different.
It's a familiar Rob, but you're right. It's got a different.
Yeah, it's like more digital, you know. All right, and I'm detecting a little taste of encryption there too. Did you hear that?
Yeah. It's a little metallic.
Aguila, are you there in Signal Land?
I am here indeed.
Wow. And we have Alex also?
Yep, if you can believe it.
You know, that's the best you sounded in a while.
I bet, yeah.
How about that? And joining us tonight is our great friend Jason Scott from the Internet Archive. Jason, welcome.
Hello there, folks.
Wow. You know, this show was supposed to be on last week, but we were preempted for a mayoral debate that was happening in New York City, and that's going to be one heck of a race. And of course, it's an important thing to cover, so expect more of that on WBAI, because we're the station that focuses on what's relevant. But what's relevant this week, I think, is something, well, actually, it's been relevant for a number of weeks. It's what's been going on as far as censorship and memory holes, you know, things being thrown away and never having happened. Just to give you some background here, the White House has ordered thousands of government web pages to be taken down since mid-January when Trump took power, basically leaving virtually no trace of some federal agencies' policies regarding critical topics like sexual orientation, January 6 cases, and discrimination. If those words even still exist, if we're allowed to even say them anymore. Since Trump's inauguration, the government's mass removal of data and policies it finds objectionable has illustrated just how quickly data can disappear from the Internet, and it's sparked renewed interest in preserving information online among digital archivists. Well, thousands of pages from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's website were taken down in January to comply with Trump's executive orders, although some of the pages are back online following an order from a federal judge. But other taken down sites include Justice Department websites related to the January 6th Capitol breach, information about care for transgender patients on healthcare.gov, a gender diversity page on the TSA's website, and sexual orientation and general identity discrimination pages on the Equal Opportunity, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission and Census Bureau's websites, as well as many others across the government. Now, you know, it's not uncommon for this to happen when administrations change, but this is far more than normal. Now, our friend Jason is part of Internet Archive, and Wayback Machine is part of the Internet Archive as well. That's a tool designed to help with preserving online data. It's been used in the past when new presidents' administrations took down information from previous administrations. The site basically allows users to enter a URL, and if the page has been archived, see what it looked like in the past, dating back to the database's founding back in 1996. Now, Jason, I believe you are the software curator for the Internet Archive. Is that correct?
Yeah, I've got two titles. One is software curator. That's kind of the day-to-day. And I'm also called the free-range archivist, which is that I am involved in all sorts of projects at the archive and all sorts of things. And I'm extremely comfortable in front of a microphone. So I'm very good for speaking out about what I can with whatever the archive is doing.
Now, you guys have gotten a lot of attention this year because of your efforts, because you're basically the only source that most people know of that still has an archive of a previous .gov website that Trump has tried to completely wipe out. Is that a fair statement?
Well, it's interesting. You know, when Brewster Kahle founded the website in 1996, it was just, boy, I sure made a lot of money. Now I get to be a librarian. Like, that was literally what got him to do it. And so he started running this library, and he was like, we can archive, you know, music and movies. And the way he had made his money was from a website rating system called Alexa Internet, which had been bought by Amazon. And as a result, he kind of still had access to, like, grabs of old websites that they were using to come up with those ratings and which is the most popular. And it was only in about 2001 where he and a few people said, wouldn't it be neat if you could type in a name of a domain and you could see kind of like what used to be there? Like, it was like a little hackathon project, basically. And what I've been saying to people is, at no point did any of this group think, oh boy, we get to be one of the central pillars of internet society and be the memory of the web. And there's a famous line from Eric Allman, who did Send Mail way back when, and he said that Send Mail was a hammer, a sledgehammer, designed to kill a fly that turned out to be an elephant in the distance. And archiving the web, the internet, has turned out to be an absolute infrastructure nightmare. Now, just going very quickly, I never want to have a situation where people who are listening think, nobody else is doing this. The entire world is just standing by, mouth agape, while stuff is disappearing on the web. Nobody's helping. Everybody's alone. No. The archive is like the brand name that a lot of people know, but we have so many collaborators and we have so many other groups out there because people recognize this, you know, pretty intense, cartoonish, clear line situation. And by the way, this isn't the first time this hasn't, this is not like entirely new, the focus and the directness of it is, but, you know, it was only the Clinton administration when they came into the White House and discovered it was all rotary phones and there was no way to hook modems up to it. Then you have the Bush administration and they've created sort of websites, and then it switches and switches and switches between these different administrations, and there's not many well-defined rules for what's the government website, what are the rules, and they've all been kind of making it up as they go along. And as we know, the Trump administration is the I would call it the immolation of handshake agreements of what we thought places would be. And so the archive had been previously anywhere between 5 and 6 months before essentially Inauguration Day going in and doing what we call an end of term crawl, which is just, let's get everything we can. Now, we do it all the time. And here's the statistic I'm sure you're looking for. In the last 6 months before inauguration, the Internet Archive had already grabbed 500 terabytes of data off of government websites in the U.S. as just part of the process. And we do it for other governments, too. But what ended up happening was you suddenly started seeing these real deep cuts of not just websites, but databases, data, and everything else. And I think that's what's got people thinking about it. And I don't want to downplay that, but I also want to say companies, communities, groups, they do this all the time. You know, our web stuff, it's up forever until it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's not, it is gone. It is like they turn off the, you know, it's not like somebody dumps a bunch of books outside, you know, in a dumpster and a bunch of people see it and say, oh my God, we got to save it. It's gone. It's just turned off. And watching that happen has been, you know, pretty spicy. Let's go with spicy.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, you guys have been doing this, as you said, since 1996. Is it an automated process where it just happens, or do you have to focus on particular sites to make sure that you're able to preserve them before something bad happens?
So the Internet Archive is grabbing billions of URLs a month and semi-automatically at that. And then there are volunteer groups that are affiliated or help, like Archive Team, which is a volunteer group that I co-founded 15 years ago, that goes in and tries to do deep crawls because they hear news of this website's going down, this service is ending, and so on. And then there are organizations that we're affiliated with, Common Crawl, Pearl, that are working on their own grabs. And all of it is kind of being built into this format called the WARC format that then the Wayback Machine plays back for people. So it's kind of a combination. And if you have a URL in the Wayback, they try to hit it again every once in a while. You know, like, I forget what the exact number is, but it's like every few months. And then, of course, there are websites like the New York Times where they're grabbing it dozens and dozens of times a day, because the New York Times has proven that they are constantly, you know, making all these dynamic changes. And I want to say also, because of our crowd, this isn't always evil. You know, it's just business. It's what they do. They're like, we have to constantly change the website. Let's change this. Let's do this. What? Let's come up with a new brand. Let's add an AI bot. Let's do this. And so as a result, the web is so fluid and dynamic, and we have moved everything there. So if a website that used to be a building that you'd go into to get a form is now a website that says, go get this PDF, and that PDF is constantly changing, without doing this, there'd be no record. And so that's, you know, it's like, a you know, expanding it the other way. The Internet Archive and the Wayback Machine, which is the same place, which is not a government-funded organization. It is a nonprofit that has done work with governments, but also does other work with other groups. You know, it's been cited in court cases. It's been used to do research. It's been used to prove, you know, it's what I'd call the gotcha machine. It, you know, where people are like, ah, you said this, you got rid of it. And it's used to like show when somebody says, well, they never used this word way back when, and you can go, no, here's the word. It's a 2001 website. So it's like the reasons and the purposes for the Wayback Machine have like flowered, like a thousand flowers bloom. And that's been great. So even on all of this, I mean, we'll talk now about this very concrete example of a very specific fire and a very specific destruction of material on rather arbitrary and often error-bound ways, which have lots and lots of historical precedents. You know, the whole transgene mice thing is a really good example, right, where they refer to transgene mice and someone just sees the word trans, so they deleted it. It was like, it's mice.
Mm-hmm.
It's genetic mice. Those mistakes are always made by loose organizations following nebulous orders to take things down, and it happens all the time. And I'm, you know,
it's called very called the Doge effect, I believe, is the official
the Doge
term.
Effect.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. The, you know, you, and it's funny because you can point to other cases where administrations have hired consultants, and they bring them in, and they make a bunch of choices, and some of those choices are not great. And that's happening here. It's just we've never had it be so transparently obvious day to day. Like, it's very, like, normally we would never hear the names of anything associated with it. We just hear, oh, they're shutting this down. Oh, they're having a hearing. But we get, in today's modern social media world, instantaneous awareness of what goes on behind the scene. Well, I'm not downplaying it, but I'm like, the X-rayness of modern society, even since you and I have been online, is astounding.
Well, I think a lot of that is attributable to your efforts and the Internet Archive, letting people know, hey, this is no longer there. It's available on Internet Archive, but it's been taken down, or news reports that focus on this. I mean, you've gotten a lot of media attention in the past couple of months, and people from all over the world are going to Internet Archive to find out what was on a particular site before Trump decided to wipe it.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me to, I mean, it's a really weird way to give people a civics lesson. I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. That's what the last 12 years have been, watching people. You know, I didn't know how many of my friends and my acquaintances over the years worked for 18F. I just didn't. And I didn't know about 18F. I'll say that right out. I didn't know. And all of a sudden, I've learned everything about it. And I've learned it from all these folks who, they were in it, they did terms in it. And thanks to the archive, we have a record of like a lot of what 18F was saying and a lot of documents were being said. And of course, citizen archivists, somebody went and grabbed 3,000 USAID PDFs and put them on the archive, you know, and people are, you know, constantly trying to do their best. And, you know, you get into arguments of provenance and origin and can you prove it? And I'm like, well, if this is a hoax, it's a heck of a hoax because this guy put up 3,000 documents. But, you know, any different than any other situation, you collect them as, what about this? Did this happen? You look at this mention here of this program, and that's investigative work. There have been some real great work by Harvard. There's a bunch of University of California folks, and there's other groups that don't come to mind. Like, I don't have their names in my head right now, who like have sat down and said, oh, we've got to grab, you know, all of this climate data. They're very worried about climate data. They're very worried about census data. You know, they're very worried about other data, and having some backup of it somewhere. And I guess the big difference now is, for example, I talked to one group, we're talking about a 3 petabyte data set. And that's chunky. You're not just going to go down to your $10 a month post that you're getting out of the Netherlands and put a copy there. So it's sometimes the scale is a little bit impressive and a little bit hard to really understand how much has been made. But yeah, that's where we are, man. We're in the middle of it. We're in the storm. This is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And we are seeing the downside of what I call the great internet bargain: instant access, worldwide access, and instantaneous deletion.
But also, you're showing us the power of the individual to be able to fight back. And that leads me to ask this. Can anybody do what you do? Let's say they focus on one particular site. Can anybody simply grab that site if they think it's going to be deleted next week?
So Archive Team has something called Archive Bot. And that was a project I wasn't even Walt Disney in that case. I was like, wouldn't it be nice if back in 2010, I think. And the idea was, wouldn't it be nice to be able to say, hey, somebody should grab this website and then have something do it right, but also have it super automated so we wouldn't experience, you know, a bunch of people trying in different ways. And I think it's archivebot.org. They own all the, they own all of them, so you're not going to get sold dresses or anything. You're going to go end up at a, I think it's archivebot.com. I think it is.
Okay.
Let's see. And so archivebot, yeah, there it is, archivebot.com. You can actually see them crawling all of these different websites constantly. Because, for example, 538 is going away. They've shut down 538.
Really?
Yeah. I guess getting elections wrong for 12 cycles ends up you know, after a while, you get kicked out. So ABC is shutting it down. Again, not necessarily a conspiracy, not a this or that, but just they're like, okay, we're going to get rid of this company, mm-hmm. but that's going to mean all this record is gone. Well, ArchiveBot, there's ways for people to join ArchiveBot and run on their own machines a virtual machine that then gets taken by ArchiveBot and used to download a bunch of things out there that are going on, and it's super coordinated. That's probably the best way for people to help, is to like run a virtual machine somewhere. The archive team is on IRC. They coordinate all the time. And at any given time, like right now, I'm seeing 284 simultaneous crawls. And I'll tell you, I used to look at this page all the time because it was like a weird tea leaves of like, what's going on in life? Like you'd see 19 crawls for like a celebrity and I'd be like, oh, doesn't look good for that celebrity. you know, like right now I'm looking at it and they're grabbing 538. They're grabbing something called Quake, some Quake sites. Because probably a site's going down. Some gamers have figured out they're 43 and shouldn't play that anymore. I'm seeing a couple others like that. And, you know, digitalarchives.exim.gov. You know, like I'm seeing kind of like indicators of like out there. And they'll do the grabbing, and they'll do it in a really good industry standard way that will grab, you know, all of the proper stuff, and then it's in the Wayback Machine within a week, sometimes within a day or two, depending on the speed. And that's probably the fastest right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I never, ever, ever, ever want to discourage somebody out there with a hard drive and a heart who just thinks they're going to just freeball it. They're just going to solo climb it. They're going to just drop it right now. We're going to go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You might not produce something industry standard, but having that feeling and like really understanding how these websites are and the puzzle of how do I preserve this for the future, that's a really good lesson. That's like, you know what I mean? Like that's like going to the library and getting a library card. That's like understanding as a citizen what you're interacting with. So I encourage it to try it out. But there are these like grandiose, beautifully done volunteer services out there doing work too.
Is that... Jason, is that like people just using a tool like wget or something and just doing it on their own and figuring out, oh, this may be not something that's portable to actually preserve? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. I mean, in terms of like, okay, so what you hear me responding to and kind of thematically under this is there's a lot of anxiousness around websites. So what happened, and being online and, you know, something, there's like the lost media meme of people and stuff, and what that is people have realized, oh my god, the things that matter to me and the things I use are all digital, and digital things can be modified and digital things can be turned off, and they suddenly feel extraordinarily powerless, paranoid, and scared because they are like, oh my god, my whole life is digital and I don't even control the servers and it's all happening out there, I don't have any idea. And they want to feel that they have some, you know, some line in the sand, some personal stake in it. And one way to do that is buy cheap hard drives and make local digital copies and learning how to do that. And being like, I can browse this website locally, or I can have a copy of every PDF from something that mattered to me. And so the line I used to say was, if you see something, save something, you know, like go ahead and do it. You know, digital hoarding is a reaction to feeling powerless. A lot of hoarding is, right? Like you just feel like the world, you're going to come up tomorrow, Cartoon Network's going to be down. There's not going to be any way to like get my news from my favorite news site. The guy who wrote my newsletter, he's dead. I can't read his old newsletters. His wife took it down. Oh my God, everything's wow. gone. That's what I want to do is like say, okay, do it. Take a jog. Do it if you feel like it, but
by the way,
feel alone.
Jason, if you haven't done this already, Internet Archive, that's a great a slogan you just said. If you see something, save something. That's a bumper sticker for you guys. It really
we've used it in a couple news articles.
Uh huh.
So yeah,
it's
oh great. No, that's my that's the Freelance Archive stuff. I have to go be the guy who says the crazy pithy statements that they then come up with. You know, the archive gets pulled into. Like right now, our director of Wayback, whose name is Mark Graham, he's doing 10, 20 interviews a day because everybody has suddenly realized, oh, wow, it's not just lost hard drives. It could be an actual group, you know, taking things down. What do you do? And so he's doing interviews after interviews explaining these concepts.
Now, I want to open this up to other people in Signal Land, but first I wanted to ask you one more thing. Now, we're talking about .gov sites, but you guys, you do the whole world, right? And in fact, if somebody just puts up their own website, you'll find that website at some point too, right?
Yeah, we've been doing billions and billions of websites weekly for, you know, nearly 30 years. We have stuff going back to the 90s. We have worldwide websites. We have websites from many different countries. We also have, you know, obviously websites that are gone. We have government sites, military sites, public, you know, public nonprofit sites and museums, institutions. You know, sometimes our crawl isn't as deep as some people would like. Like if we tried to crawl GitHub all the time, I think we'd be having a pretty bad time. But we will have records of like how GitHub, you know, I'm not going to pick too much on GitHub, but, you know, GitHub had that period of time when they claimed they were a meritocracy, and then they worked hard to get rid of that verbiage. We still have a record of when they had that verbiage. We just have a record of a phase of GitHub's pre-Microsoft life when they were wild and woolly, and it'd be harder to claim it didn't happen. So, like, we're everywhere on that. And, in fact, once or twice we've done something pretty cool. We have a site called gifcities.org, GIF cities.org, which is like tens of thousands of pulled animated GIFs from GeoCities, which you can go search for. And we have a collection called the this is right up your alley, Emmanuel. We have something called the Military PowerPoint Complex, where we went through 25 years of PowerPoints on military sites and pulled them all out and made a collection of them. And they are exactly as bad as you can imagine, made by Army guys who were forced to have a PowerPoint by Monday. And we just, you know, that's like, the, you know, helping people to do that. Or, and I'm sorry to drag one more in, scholar.archive.org is where we have been like archiving and separating out millions of academic papers, including ones that disappear, and pulled them back out of the Wayback Machine so you can do searches for academic citations and not worry that, like, the one place they are is gone. And it's really done well. It's called Internet Archive Scholar, and it's really cool. So we do other things, too.
That is amazing. Okay, folks, out in Signal Land, any thoughts, questions? Anyone? Alex, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. And Jason, it's always great to have you on and hear you talk about this. And I'm particularly I'm wowed by the amount of work that's done by the Internet Archive and the Wayback Machine. It's really just absolutely extraordinary. One of the things that I've been doing for the last, I don't know, month or so is I wrote a script in Bash that compares the zone files of the basically compares any kind of zone files, but I can use it on the .gov zone file. So I can find things that are added newly to the .gov zone file, which is quite interesting. And I can also find things that have been removed as well. So what I'm thinking is maybe there's a way for us to collaborate, because what I think would be quite interesting with respect to the Wayback Machine would be to essentially just take the zone files and to archive everything from the zone files. That would be very helpful, right? What I can do is generate a list of only the domains, kind of remove all the name servers, remove all the extra technical nonsense from these, and I'd be happy to provide that. One of the things that I saw recently removed from the .gov zone file was economicinclusion.gov. Mm-hmm. That was just a couple of days ago. That was an FDIC-related program that had to deal with access to financial services and, not surprisingly, economic inclusion issues. And then, interestingly enough, today I saw something fascinating added to the .gov zone file. And recall just a couple of weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, I found DEI.gov added as well as waste.gov. And then today, and this is, I guess, kind of breaking news here, something really weird popped up. creators.gov. What the hell is that going to be? What do you think that is all about? And interestingly enough, when I first resolved the site, creators.gov, it resolved to a landing page that stated, and I'm going to pull it up here so I don't get it incorrect in any way. It said, creators.gov is connected with MailChimp, which is kind of a strange thing to see on a .gov website, you would think, right? So then a couple of hours later, I go back and check it again, and now it's throwing up a 403 code. Yeah. But this is a brand new domain that was created yesterday, presumably by the White House, and it sounds very musky to me. It's got a musky kind of name to it, or I guess it smells kind of musky would be the better verbiage here. But, you know, fascinating stuff, and I feel like there's a lot of ways where we could work together with respect to archiving these types of things. I'd love to work with you on this, and I'm sure that there are others that are listening right now that have similar ideas.
Sure. On Blue Sky, there's something called the Federal U.S. Domain Bot that tells you when the website, when the domains are being added and taken down.
So interesting.
So it's action taken by the Executive Office of the President at or around 6:10 in the morning on the 5th. So that is actually also watched. The archive is actually doing a lot of that, but I love walking the basics because I like to make sure that we're doing it efficiently or that we're doing it in a way that makes sense. And so, but I will tell you that, yeah, I, you know, Blue Sky, I've been watching a lot of weird, there's one that like once a day shows me a weird emoji. And then there's one that shows me exactly this, like, oh, they've registered creators.gov today. I wonder how that's going. And, oh, they took this down today. And then you go see if it's there or not. I don't mind giving it out. My email address is jscott@archive.org, jscott@archive.org. You can always mail me. I get lots of interesting mail from people, and we talk about different possibilities. There's somebody who just mailed me because he has thousands of MCA disco visions from 1976 onward, and I'm like, well, let's talk, buddy. So, you know, I'm sure for your listeners who haven't, it's been a while since I've been on, who were like, what is this guy? I'm like, if you do a job you love, you never sound bored. I've got, like, it's an interesting job because the mission is so wide. And here we are in, you know, a pretty intense time that people are thinking about it, but it's happening a lot. And, you know, a few years ago, did you see that thing where somebody did a census of the internet without telling anybody? They just did like a, you know, internet census. What's on every internet? And they produced like dozens of gigabytes tar Z files of like, here's, you know, this and this and that. And I made sure we got a copy of that in our data sets collection because that's the kind of thing that just fades away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody did it. Isn't it cool? We have a couple Reddit data sets from way back when, before they suddenly decided they didn't like people having data sets of their answers. And there's data sets of weather data. There's data sets. And, of course, archiving of radio. There's so much stuff out there that we're producing online. I always encourage people, like, you had a thing. You had a thing, man. You had a thing you wanted to do. You wanted to look at domains. What's the government doing with domains? You set up a project. You have information. We collaborate. I give the list to the Wayback team. It's either redundant, a test case, or a new set of data that we can use. Every one of those is great. Man, do I love redundant data. I love finding out that two or more people were working on a project, because that's when you find the mistakes. That's when you find oversights or new ways to look at it. So, yeah, I'd love it, man.
That's when you find people to talk to and share experiences. And it is the most awesome thing. You're absolutely right there. I'm curious about one thing, though. We were always told that when it's on the internet, it's forever. And tonight we seem to be saying the exact opposite of that. When it's on the internet, it's subject to being deleted at a dictator's whim. Which is it?
You know, it's unfortunately a reflection of humans, which is the secret of the LLMs too, right? You know, they're like, oh, this thing knows everything. It's like, no, it knows what it looked at, and it's giving you back what people are like, and people are a little bit bonkers. Well, items on the internet are subject to fads just like everything else. So what happens is you put up a website, everyone goes to it, everyone remembers it. Hey, the spinning plate cat, I'm making that up, don't look for it. Splitting plate cat site, and oh, that's amazing. And then, you know, 5 years later, somebody didn't pay the spinning plate cat bill, and it's gone. And if it's gone. And then you'll see, like, fan sites for it, or people will go, remember this? And there's no protocol built into the internet for preservation or time code. And that has been, I've read at conferences proposals at websites for, like, we should have a time machine protocol so that the website is set up this way. We just never did it. Same way that robots.txt is, like, completely made up and random. And how is it done? What does it do? And we never did it. So, like, the internet has been missing a function of memory all this time, and we're paying for it because of that. So either Space Jam stays up for 25 years. By the way, they changed it finally when the new Space Jam movie came out. But for, like, 25 years, this website was untouched, and it was just this world of 1997-era graphics. And then one day it's changed. One day it's gone. One day they've done this or that or the other thing, and it's just a different... And we suddenly go, oh, we were just... This was all a handshake deal. We just assumed that... You know, I've been running textfiles.com for... Ooh, going to get on 30 years myself soon. And it's sitting on a server that some people donated money for in the eastern United States. It's not really near me. It's on a machine. I've got mirrors. I registered textfil.es one day just to have an off-country mirror. I've packed everything up and put it into a big zip file for anybody to download and make their own copy. But if I go and nobody is around, the site will go down. And then it'll be, did I make a will? Did I... have somebody take over? Did I do, you know? And this question, I have walked through so many awesome websites of people who are gone, and I'm like, oh, I wish you had done something to make this last forever, because there's so much of a person. Those are my favorite websites, where you walk in, like, I'm people can't see on the video, on the little chat that we're on, but I'm sitting here digitizing these massive tapes, and these massive tapes are from a guy named Bob Cooper, and Bob Cooper was the king of satellite TV for the regular user. He was like 1970s onward, and I just digitized a tape because somebody went to his warehouse after he died and sent me all his tapes. And I just got to watch a satellite watch party in 1980, a 46-year-old tape of families building a 12-foot satellite in a backyard aimed at a color TV sitting on a bench where they're just, like, scanning different satellites trying to see what's on TV that night. Like all of that, like that. Transience of the human experience is reflected at a, you know, at least there was a warehouse full of tapes. Websites, you don't get that. That's, I think, the one thing we really need to realize. These things are not, they're not just built on sand. They're built on promises and hopes and wishes.
Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Jason, always good to see you. First of all, just to mention, you had mentioned the GIF Cities project to showcase GIF files from GeoCities. And yeah. I know that G pronunciation is going to start some fights among our listeners. So I just want to point out that you can pronounce it with the hard G. You can say GeoCities. But what I really wanted to ask you is, with these efforts of archiving these .gov sites and everything else, of course, this is an amazing effort, and this takes so much in terms of resources. And what kind of obstacles are in the way of that when you want to archive something? Like what sort of like pushback or just things in the way of just pushing a button and getting it done are out there?
Government or the world?
I'd say government in particular.
Okay, so let me see what I can... I mean, obviously you cannot run a site like the Internet Archive and get piles. Like, we have a little sign outside of our entrance at our headquarters that's like, oh, so you're here with a subpoena. Here, call this person. Just call this number. We'll handle it. And I will tell you that one of the greatest things that ever happened, one of the most positive things to come out of the societal shift of the pandemic was that you could do testimony in court cases via Zoom. Because, like, and I mean, these are like very benign things. Company A says they never sold cat food. Person B says they sold cat food. They show the Wayback Machine that they sold cat food. Now we got to subpoena some poor person from the Wayback Machine to go, I am the Wayback Machine. Here is how we do it. This is what it is. Da, 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 da. Well, think of that about against like all of these different forces and people and stuff. Like the archive is a very unique and interesting place and gets a lot of interesting parties contacting us. On the whole, you know, there have been countries that have blocked access to the archive. There have been places that have blocked the archive, and there have been places that, you know, on the whole, we don't, I mean, I can say this statement because we definitely said a statement on this. We don't respect robots.txt on .gov and .mil because the people paid for it. Whoever's doing robots.txt doesn't understand the situation, so sorry. But we're also respectful citizens. I mean, individuals who have made websites can request that their website is taken down for privacy reasons. You know, people will make a website and then discover they're living a whole new life. They should not be, you know, subjected to there is this immutable way to look at their previous life without any recourse. So we negotiate through all that and deal with all that. The U.S. government has not really been hostile to us. We did have a case with the, I think it was the Homeland Security, tried to subpoena a log. We scrambled our log, so it wouldn't have been good anyway, but it was a secret warrant. So we sued them to reveal the warrant, and we won. So that happened like a long time ago.
Jason, when's the last time you checked to see if the government is hostile towards you?
I think we're watching all the time. I know I'm watching all the time. You know, I said a not very nice thing to Mr. Musk on Twitter a few years ago where he claimed that the archive was whatever, terrible or something, and I said a very not nice word to him. And I remember in the meeting being like, it's all about diplomacy. But, you know, like, obviously, thematically, in this era we're in right now, we are in a lot of institutions are being shook very hard. And a lot of things we assumed wouldn't happen are happening. There is pushback, there is protest, there is response, there is awareness, and it's very inspiring to watch. I expect that if anything shakes at the archive, people will know about it. I really don't think otherwise. But on the other hand, you know, well, again, at some point in this, I am, what's the word they go, wargaming. I'm wargaming possibilities. I'm prepping. And that's not really my place or to talk for the archive in that way. Mm-hmm. You know, the archive has faced challenges all of its time, all of its life. Years and years ago, we had a massive Grateful Dead archive. And one day, the random company involved with the Grateful Dead archive said, that should go down. And we talked with the Grateful Dead, the actual Grateful Dead. And the agreement was, we won't make the soundboard recordings available because those are being turned into commercial works. But the in the audience tapings are around, and we have every Grateful Dead show except for 128. And like that's an example of like what could have been a project ending situation. We work to keep it, but you know, I mean, nothing should ever. Whenever people get me at the end of the night at a hacker con, like the upcoming Hope or whatever, I go, look, man, it's a big, beautiful ship that I'm so proud to be a mate on. And the way I think of it is that we land in the berth every night in the full moon and we go, that was another successful voyage. That's the way I look at it. Perhaps that's not a longevity look, but I'm like, I really appreciate every day the archive is up. 2 to 3 million people have their lives improved. And to me, that's like, could you find another place that's happening all the time? Like, so that's where I go about it. But also, we're not lying down and saying, like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen, man. It's a mystery. I mean, Brewster Kahle got millions and millions of dollars in Amazon stock in 1996 and went, I get to be a librarian, and then has just dumped his personal fortune into it. And others have said, wow, what an amazing project. And they've dumped millions into it. And it's his life's work. It's not a tax shelter. It's not a trick. It's not a startup that's going to turn into whatever. It's like that's his love and his life. So he cares about it. And we all care about it. And we care about what we do. Maybe we're one of the few that's still doing it that way. We're not like, oh, man, when we introduce the new blah, blah, blah dot cheddar, it's going to be amazing. Like, no, you know. You always get me on this line because the longer I talk about the archive, the more I'm like, I'm going to fall in love with you all over again. I just want to take the archive out for dinner and just watch a movie and cuddle. I just love that place.
Jason, we are in our last couple of minutes, but we're going to continue the conversation, hopefully, over on Overtime on YouTube. If you go to 2600.com, you'll see a link at the top of the page, or you can just go to channel 2600 on YouTube.com. But I want to give you an opportunity to let people know how they can get involved, how they can help, if archive.org needs any kind of donations or equipment or, dare I say, material. How do they go about that?
Well, I definitely want to say, let's get those right out there. Archive.org is the website. Archive.org/donate is a great place to send funds. We can take monthly donations or we can take crypto, but we could also take normal human money. And I actually made I made a domain called give.archive.money. The archive also has an upload function. You can get a virtual account there and upload things you think need to be preserved. We also have, believe it or not, weekly meetings on Fridays in San Francisco at our headquarters. And so you can write in about attending them. We have some amazing people show up. You never know who's going to show up to one of those meetings. And what I said about Archive Team, archiveteam.org has the archive bot where people can donate computer time to be part of this matrix of downloading of websites, both deep and just somebody thinks it'd be a good idea to get this right now, and that will help us. And I said, I'm Jay Scott, JSCOTT, at archive.org. I love long email threads being sent to me that are not really questions, and then I sort of work my way through it. That's life. So, yeah, there you go.
Well, Jason, it's been great having you on. And again, as I mentioned, the conversation will continue over on Channel 2600 on YouTube at 8 o'clock. Rob, I wanted to give you a chance just to remind people about 2600 meetings coming up this weekend or this Friday.
Absolutely. 2600.com/meetings. Everywhere in the world, you can find one or start one. First Friday of every month, which is this Friday, our local one, you can find it at nyc2600.net.
Okay. And just to remind people also, you're listening to WBAI, a non-commercial radio station in the middle of New York City, in the middle of the commercial band, although we have no commercials. We have you. We have our listeners. And we need you to help support this place so we can bring you conversations like this and all kinds of other material on this show and on the hundreds of other shows that this radio station has been responsible for over the years, thousands actually. Go to give2wbai.org is one of the websites. Buddy.wbai.org is another. You can make monthly payments. You can pledge any amount that you can afford. The important thing, though, is that you keep WBAI on the air here at 99.5 FM. We've been going since 1960, and not a single commercial, other than the kind from old-time radio that we play for historical purposes. No commercials on this radio station. Our only sponsors are you, our listeners. So please give to WBAI.org, buddy.wbai.org as well. We will be back next Wednesday, 7 p.m. here for another edition of Off the Hook. You know, my favorite congressperson right now is a guy named Al Green, for obvious reasons. I checked, though. He has no records out, unfortunately. But I found another Al Green who does. And they're about the same age, too, believe it or not. So let's all groove to this sound. We'll see you either at 8 o'clock or next week. Good night, everyone. Stand up. Just one.